guys, so get this. It's a bridge, but it's of spies.
So it's composed of Daniel Craig, Jason Bourne, like they just killed him.
And made a bridge out of
them. Just stacked the bodies.
Apparently that sounds like a terrible premise for a film. Yeah,
it can't be a very big bridge.
Yeah, it's one hell of a successful villain. You're like, I took them all out. Only Archer can defeat him now.
It's Samuel Jackson from Kingsman. He's like, it's not that type of movie.
Yeah, right? No, this is the latest Steven Spielberg film, which means you're gonna watch it. Let's face it.
And you're probably gonna like it.
Yeah, you're like, there's a 9 out of 10 chance that you're at least gonna go with every Spielberg film. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
At worst.
I tell you, you make a good point, because like, watching a Spielberg film, it's like slipping on really comfortable shoes.
Yeah, it doesn't do a lot of wildly unexpected stuff.
Yeah.
And in fact, there's a lot of, he uses a lot of the tricks of the trade that in a lesser person's hand can come across as trite.
Yeah.
But he is so goddamn good at doing it.
Yeah, it's comforting. Like, this is how this is supposed to be done.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, it's not J.J. Abrams trying to ape his style.
Double down on that comfort level. You got Tom Hanks as your star. So at this point, there's like, there's a 9 out of 10 chance you're going to go, oh no, I really liked it.
Yeah. Like, we're at the level of, it's Sunday, I'm watching TBS, I got a beer, there's no game on, it's time to watch something satisfying.
And if that's not enough, add the Coen brothers writing the script.
Does it have an ending?
It actually has a real ending.
Well, it doesn't, it's based on real events.
So yeah, it doesn't just have them shrugging at the screen and going, I don't know.
You're not smart enough to get it. This is just life, people.
No, this is actually based on a true story that I knew the outside part of this story, mm-hmm. but I did not know the specifics of this character.
I had never
that
heard
Tom
the
Hanks
story.
Is playing a guy named James B. Donovan, who was a lawyer in Brooklyn, who basically they discovered that this Russian spy was in New York and arrested him, and he refused to give up anything at all, but according to law he still had to go to trial for basically see whether or not he was going to be found guilty of being a spy,
because he was arrested on the United States soil,
right?
Yeah.
So the CIA comes to him, to Tom Hanks, and goes, we need you to defend this guy. He's like, look, this is not even my specialty of law, but like, no, we need you to do this anyway. So he's like, okay, and he does the best, much to the chagrin of almost everyone, the best job he can.
They should have known better, because like, there's a little line when he's explaining his resume. He served in the Nuremberg trials after the Holocaust.
Right.
Like, you don't, if you want just a hack, you don't get this guy.
Well,
get it to somebody else.
They couldn't just throw it to, like, the court-appointed lawyer, because it would look like exactly what they were actually hoping would happen.
Yeah.
They had to give it to a proper lawyer.
Then they probably thought, it's an insurance lawyer. He doesn't really care. He'll just do what we want.
Right. But, like, when a U-2 spy plane with this is the part I knew about, with Francis Gary Powers shot down over Russia, and he is captured, the CIA decides, okay, we think we want to make a trade for spies, and we think the guy to do it is not going to be a military guy, but in fact, Tom Hanks' character.
Deniability.
Send him over to Berlin to negotiate the deal, with us kind of whispering in the background whenever he's not actually talking to the people he's doing the negotiating with. And what you end up with is, for a pretty long movie. What is it? 141 minutes.
Yeah.
A film that moves extremely quickly, I thought.
It felt like this is a year I was going to know what I think, but it was a pleasure to watch.
Yeah.
Like, I could tell it was long, but it was like saying to me, hey, we're going to give you the best nachos you've ever had in your life.
Yeah.
And when you're done with those nachos, we're going to give you a steak. Then we're going to give you fried fucking Twinkies. Yeah.
That is one thought I had throughout. I'm like, I know this is really long, and this is really procedural and very technical, and there's stuff happening, but there's also not a lot happening. But yeah, it moved along pretty quickly.
Yeah, a large part of that is the fact that like almost every scene has Tom Hanks in it.
Yeah.
I can't even consciously think of a scene that doesn't have Tom Hanks in it.
Very few.
And he's just so good at being Tom Hanks.
He really is.
Yeah, well, that, and I think the familiarity of him working with Steven Spielberg, you're beginning to see a lot of the things little things I liked about, like, Catch Me If You Can and The Terminal. Like, I kind of saw that
here,
and it's like, yeah, they're they're familiar.
Spielberg and Hanks know how to work with each other very well at this point. In fact, in the Q&A after the film that they did, which you sadly did not get to see, Elliot,
we
did, they did a live Q&A thing, and they were saying, you know, like, basically, he's got Spielberg's like, yeah, I got to do a one-off with him and Harrison Ford because they're tied right now with four. So next, I'll probably do an indie film with Harrison, and then I'll come back and do something else with Tom.
I tell you, even though I didn't see that that Q&A, I felt because I wasn't going to go see this until like it was a big thing with the screening. Bottom line is another screen got scheduled.
Yeah,
and I feel privileged to have seen it because I wouldn't have seen it at all, especially as a lawyer to watch this. And to see the best of the profession.
That's why I was encouraging everyone to try and go see it. It's funny because everyone's like, no, I want to see Crimson Peak. I'm like, okay, have fun with your shitty Crimson Peak instead of seeing one of the films that's going to get nominated for Best Picture this year.
I consider this movie to be, like, I don't know if in a technical sense. I don't know if, like, criticisms are going to be written about this movie because it's, like, it's not great. It's not breaking any new ground.
Yeah.
But I consider it to be a classic on the level, not up to Shawshank Redemption. But something that I can put on and know I'm going to enjoy immensely.
But the thing is, the dialogue is all immensely well-written and fun to watch. The performances are super strong. Mark Rylance, who plays Rudolf Abel, the spy, American spy, is so good.
Would it help?
Just pitch perfect. They've got these like things that he says regularly that are really funny. And his relationship with Tom Hanks' character is, like, has meaning.
This movie does one thing that's really great, and it's completely opposite of what they used to do in the 80s with all those like jingoistic movies about America and how we're all great. It doesn't say America's all bad,
no.
And it doesn't say that Soviets are all bad or all good. It just says that, hey, look, there are shitty people in both countries.
Yeah, we're all just people, ultimately.
It's up to the good people to get together and keep the stupid people from killing everybody.
Yeah, and Hanks is
and not just that. It's like everybody's got a job to do, like...
Hanks's character is totally divorced from any sort of, like... trying to make a political statement at all.
He's like, this is my job.
His point of this thing with this guy is like, look, you guys keep calling him a traitor. He's not a traitor. A traitor is I forget the name of the couple, the famous couple, the Goldbergs, who were Americans who were sending information to the Russian. This guy was never an American.
He was loyal to his cause.
He was a spy who came over here and spied. He was doing his job as surely as if one of our guys, which invariably is over there, which turned out to indeed be the case, was just doing his job. He's not a traitor. He's a spy. He gets caught, fine, but don't confuse the two. It is not a death penalty for someone who is a spy. That's a traitor offense.
It's like, because like giving that guy the death penalty is like, well, you just don't want spies to exist, and so when one of our guys gets caught, they're gonna die.
Yeah, how do you think anyone else, the enemy, looks at that if we treat their spies this way?
And the thing is, like, it does what a great movie does, is it elevates a discussion that is still going on as to, you know, how do we treat prisoners when we get them? Because the traditionally conservative argument is, well, fuck them. They're terrorists, they're spies, whatever. We can treat them however we want.
We call anybody who comes from another country and is trying to in any way harm the U.S. a terrorist now.
Yeah.
That's our catch-all phrase.
Exactly. And like, they act like, you know, we can just, don't even need a trial, just hang them, string up a rope, and we're fine.
Yeah.
But the more traditionally liberal position is that, look, we, independent of what they are and what they do, we define who we are by how we treat people and what we do.
Yeah.
And this movie really gets it across, and it shows, you know, which is rare in a movie not about 1960 civil rights, what lawyers can be at their best.
Yeah.
This is a guy who went to law school and became a lawyer, and he doesn't care about the trappings of, oh, I'm making this money. He just wants to protect his family, do a good job, and go fucking home.
Well, I love that, like, everyone keeps questioning his patriotism, and he's like, I'm more of a patriot than you are.
Yeah.
I'm the one who actually believes in the fucking what it says in the Constitution.
It's like,
you're the one who wants to throw it out the window and do whatever the fuck you feel like because you're angry.
Yeah, it's like, don't tell me that, you know, the book doesn't count. That's the only thing that does count.
Yeah, and I really loved and thought it's appropriately timed, that statement, when, like, the people who scream the loudest about not being a patriot are the very ones
that
throwing
would just throw
the
it
Constitution
out
the window all the time. Oh, except for, you know, that gun rights thing.
Yeah.
That's the only one they give a shit about.
That, if you put a comma in that damn sentence, it reads completely different.
Yeah. But ultimately, this is just, it's kind of fun, and it's super smart, and there's a bookended statement about what James B. Donovan, Tom Hanks' character, did next in his life that is, like, just the ultimate, like, 1-2 punch at the end of how awesome this guy is, you know?
It's a shame that more people don't know about him.
I knew nothing about
him. It kind of made me bummed out that I grew up in Texas, because I only knew about Texas history, and I didn't know shit about anything that happened in World War II.
Well, they definitely wouldn't have taught this.
And yeah.
No, they don't. History these days doesn't want to teach you nuance and anything that might inform your beliefs to where you might not believe the shit they're trying to put down your throat.
Yeah.
It's like, they'd not be like, hey, maybe we should learn about the time that we negotiated some spies, and, you know, negotiation and nuance actually fucking helped.
Yeah, and Spielberg manages to say the things he wants to say without ever making you feel like he's proselytizing.
He leads you to it. He doesn't stop the movie and say, here's what you should believe.
Yes.
Like some, I forgot the filmmaker that does that all the time. Like, Kevin Smith will do that.
Sure.
Like, he will stop a movie and just make a statement. And
Spike
then
Lee does that as
Spike
well.
Spike Lee does that really horribly.
But Spielberg also creates a film that through, it's like, hey, I bet you never knew about this little thing that actually happened, creates that same feeling that Catch Me If You Can did, where you're like, holy shit, I can't believe all this shit went down.
It gives you the feeling of like, Jesus Christ, why is history the most boring subject in fucking school? It should be the most interesting. It's history. They're like, why didn't I learn about this in American history when we're talking about the Cold War? This is the perfect microcosm of the fucking Cold War.
In my experience, most high school history teachers had no background in actual history. People get their education thing, and then that's the opening, and so they're basically reading the book along with the students, as opposed to someone who, there's lots of people out there who actually have discovered how fascinating history really is, because there's no end of great books written about history that make it come to life and really exciting. This is a movie that I think will make people more interested in this particular period of time, what was going on during the Cold War.
Honestly, I could give you a history of the 20th century with just Spielberg films. I'm not kidding. I could go from Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, it didn't make you wonder why they didn't get Matt Damon to play Gary Powers.
No, he shouldn't have been Gary Powers. He should have been the student. The prior.
Right, because there's another guy who gets captured over there with a attempt to try and make America take him instead of
the
U-2 pilot.
Which just shows you just how great of a lawyer this guy was.
Well, one of the complexities that really was interesting there was that, like, East Germany and West Germany had just split. They were building the wall as this movie's going on. And East Germany, even though they're communist, I mean, they're not owned by the Russians. And they feel like since this whole thing's taking place there, they wanted to be taken seriously as a separate independent republic.
Yeah.
And so they want to control the conversation, which means, like, you know, saying, look, we're not even trading for Francis Gary Powers. We're trading for this guy. And that this whole new level of, like, Jesus fuck, what the hell that Tom Hanks has to deal with when he gets there.
Yeah.
The Russians and the Germans are, like, at odds even over this.
And it's like just, oh my God. In the beginning, there's an opening conversation where they sort of hint at it.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, you know, showing a gun at the beginning of a movie, but you don't even realize this is a gun they're showing you.
Right.
You don't realize this is going to come back, but just his argument of, no. One for one, fuck one for one, two for one. And I'm gonna convince you that that's a good deal.
Yeah.
Because fuck you, I'm a lawyer. And I'm working.
That's what you guys do.
Here's the thing, though. He's from what I know, it's like, unless you're from New York, some of the best attorneys end up working in New York. So he was not a slouch. Like, he is.
No, they never give you the feeling that he is.
Yeah, but like the fact that these people were underestimating him the entire time.
Right, because they're like
he is like five times the attorney I'll ever be.
It's like, yeah, he's a top attorney, but he works for an insurance company.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, come on, whatever. He's not going to be the one to do a bunch of stuff. And then it's like, yeah, he's doing that because, like, ultimately, and the movie says, look, you can have both ethics and wealth.
Yeah.
You can do both at the same time. It's important not to get so lost in wealth that you forget, wait, I have morals and ethics. Well, which is ironic considering he was working for an insurance company, which by default means you've lost some of your ethics along the way.
No, you're completely right, but the way that opening scene really grounds him, and it makes you, he's not a complete white hat person.
No.
He's not some white knight. He just believes in the rules he's supposed to follow. So, like, his job as the attorney for the insurance company is to try and protect their interests and pay out as little as possible.
Yes.
That is his job. But he also views his job as a lawyer as to follow the Constitution. That is his job.
Yeah.
So he's actually very rigid, but flexible when the rigidity calls for it.
Technically, he's lawful neutral.
Exactly. He's lawful neutral.
All right, well, let's go to final thoughts. Elliot, continue.
Just, I'm sorry to filibuster this entire review.
No, you really liked it, and I'm not surprised since it's about a hero lawyer.
Yeah, and it's something that I had never heard this story. I felt very lucky to have seen this movie because I probably wouldn't have seen this movie for like 3 years. You know, Alan Alda, by the way, was really good.
Yes,
in his small role
as Tom Hanks's boss.
But it was nice to see somebody dust him off and prop him up again and be like, "Ah, Alan Alda,
I'm still here. I haven't died yet."
Exactly. I tell you one thing that we may have missed: the score was really good.
Yeah, Thomas Newman did the score.
Really nice, solid. You know, this entire movie is just very solid. There is only one criticism I have for this entire movie: is that there's a slight subplot with his daughter and his associate attorney. Maybe they're dating, that they sort of just drop at one
point. It's not even really a subplot because, yeah, it's so quickly completely abandoned that it's really just there for a joke that never really pays off.
Yeah, and it sort of distracts you. So, I mean, for me...
Well, I think it's also there to because Tom Hanks does have that one line where it's like, oh, this kid is the same age as whatever the fuck.
Right, I think they were probably going to... I think there's probably, like, scenes cut that maybe they were going to show more of that.
Yeah, it felt like maybe there was a more stuff there, or that it had a denouement sequence or something.
Like, to come back to it. But, you know, but other than that...
I had literally forgotten about that.
You know, here's the thing. Whenever I'm about to give a movie a 10, I try to find something wrong with it because I don't like to give out many 10s. And I'm going to give this a 9.5 because I'm not kidding. Like, a 10 is a perfect score, and I want to... try to make sure that I'm given that I can't in my mind find anything remotely wrong with it.
Mm.
And that is the only thing that I found wrong in this entire movie. The score is great. The acting is great. The writing is great. The directing is amazing and comfortable at the same time. This is a great movie and I really recommend, especially as we're coming up on Thanksgiving, it's probably still going to be out. Maybe be even the dollar theater. Say you're home with your parents or your family. Y'all got some time to kill. Go see Bridge of Spies. Especially your parents, your family, they're really going to love it. So I say 9.5. Legal Briefs out of 10.
JC?
I thought this is a good kickoff to award season. Spielberg very rarely does me wrong, and anytime he's collaborating with Tom Hanks, I think the end product is always really good. For something being this procedural, I don't necessarily mind procedural, it's just those type of movies aren't necessarily the sort of thing I'll go back and revisit, even though I'll enjoy them in the moment. This one, I could see myself going back and enjoying this. Like, I still kind of enjoy Catch Me If You Can and stuff like that.
Which is actually my favorite Spielberg film.
Yeah.
And it has, like, one of the best scores.
Yeah, it does.
I think this kind of solidifies, like, if you tell me Spielberg, Tom Hanks, period piece, and be like, all right, I'm in. I don't care what it's really about. And this sort of goes to prove if you're the cynical mind that thinks, well, there's no more interesting war stories, then it's gonna be the same thing I've seen over and over again.
Yeah,
there are things that we don't even know about that people uncover in books, and there are interesting stories out there. Definitely seek this out. Like Elliot said, it kind of excels in all areas. It's not really anything I have super wrong with it, other than. Nothing really wrong with it. I'm rigid and I very rarely give out 9s and 10s, so I'm going to give this a 8 out of 10 spies.
Sure, why not? Yeah. You're going to build a bridge out of it. All right, so I'm going to say a phrase that sounds confusing, but let me say it in the context that one of the only people on Earth this applies to is Steven Spielberg. This film is joyfully workmanlike.
Yeah.
It is not anything that's groundbreaking in terms of anything, really.
Right.
You know, but it's so very well done of what exactly it is and what it needs to be for this type of film.
It's like a great couch.
Yeah, it's like a really comfortable couch or pair of shoes.
It's nothing that you're going to go out your way to go buy, but once you get it, man, you're like, this is really fucking well done.
It's not one of those things that you're going to be going... like, and thinking about for days and days afterwards. It's not one of those things that you're going to go, this is one of Spielberg's very best movies. But it is still a really great movie. It's like one of those things, like, it's definitely going to get nominated for Best Picture, but it almost certainly won't win. Because honestly, that's it. It's not cutting edge in any way, shape, or form.
But it does deserve that recognition.
It deserves that recognition.
It'll get nominated for screenplay too.
Yeah, it'll get nominated for screenplay. Won't win that either. Right. I think another movie we're talking about this week might very well win
Tom
best screenplay.
Tom Hanks might win best actor for this.
Yeah, I don't know. Has he? He's won best actor like twice, hasn't he?
Yeah,
like,
he won it twice in a row for Philadelphia and Forrest Gump.
There but he go. Hasn't won it in like
which he didn't
20 years now. So,
Gump, but, yeah.
I'm saying like I could see him winning this.
Everybody
one.
Loves Forrest Gump, and I'm like, come on, guys. It was good, but you guys lost your fucking minds over that.
I think Forrest Gump, you got to put yourself in the mind of a self-indulgent person from the 60s.
Yeah.
Who, like, thinks that they were the most important generation of all fucking time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was totally what was going on there. Yeah. You're not wrong at all. This is... At no point did this feel cloying or treacly to me at all. It's just a good, feel-smart type of film. Yeah. And I'm going to give it... 8 out of 10 smiles that you share with Tom Hanks. Because when he smiles, don't you smile by it. You can't help it.
You want to smile.
Whenever he smiles, you smile. You're like, aw, Tom, you're adorable.
Yeah.